This is HDN.
Tuesday, October 28th. This is the Halifax Daily News. You always sound so surprised when I say that. What other shows are you recording?
No, this
is the Daily News. Okay, gee.
No.
Better put away my Ouija board and black candles because it's a completely different show. Wow.
No, I'm just surprised I woke up on the right side of the dirt. That's all. Just a thankful.
Yes, we're here.
Want to say a big shout out to Dr. Ethel Cooper Rosen. She is going where no doctor has gone before and hopefully putting an end to the insanity that is sick notes. Dr. Cooper Rosen practices in Dartmouth, and she is going to start charging employers $30 to write sick notes for patients, saying that they put unnecessary pressure on the healthcare system. Now, there are a lot of employers out there and some universities that require notes from doctors to verify that sick day policies aren't being abused. So if you, for example, take a Benadryl day, your employer insists that you have a note signed by your physician saying that, yes, indeed, you are sick.
So she's going to charge the employer. You know, the employer's going to say, nah, charge the patient.
Well, it's not the patient that's, it's the employer that is making the demand of the patient. I think it's brilliant. It's one of those services. It's not covered under MSI. And so as a business owner, she is absolutely within her right to charge $30 to, employer X.
Provided every other doctor does the same thing, or the employer will just say, stay away from Ethel.
The thing is that the College of Physicians and Surgeons made the plea last year around this time, asking employers nicely if they would please, rethink or refrain from demanding notes from their workers, because it was clogging up the system. It was putting patients at unnecessary risk for, catching God knows what in the waiting rooms. It just, it's an absolute bullshit policy. And obviously it wasn't adhered to, so this doctor has taken matters into her own hands. She says she writes about 6 to 8 of those things a week.
Make a little extra coin doing that.
You know what? $30 isn't going to make or break the doctor. It's not going to make or break the employer, but I think it's definitely going to send a message.
I think what the big problem is the fact that you have to have a cut and dry rule. It's black or white.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in school, they would demand notes from a doctor if you were sick. If you were one of those students that was skipping class all the time and only showed up half the year, that's when the teacher would say, I need a note. But if you were a straight A student and you went to school all the time and you were sick, they didn't bother demanding that because it's pretty obvious that you're sick. And even though you're sick, you're still going to do well in their class. And they could make that decision.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and I think unions have a lot to do with this or whatever, it's always, well, you can't say that to this person and not to this person, or it's going to be favoritism, prejudice, sexism, whatever ism you want to stick on that.
The fact is,
the fact is that these employers now have to get a note from everybody.
And
that's where it's gone off the rails.
That's where it's gone to bullshit.
I still think employers should be able to say, okay, I need a note, Homer Simpson. You've missed every Friday for the last 5 months.
Exactly.
I want a note. But, if Mary Jane down in accounting calls in sick for the first time in 5 years, cut her some slack. She's probably sick. Either she's sick or it was such a damn good reason, so there's got to be some gray area there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of employers, certainly a lot of employers, if you're gone, 3 days or more, then they require some sort of certificate.
And for their own records, because they have to pay your salary and pay somebody else's salary to fill in for you.
Yeah.
And so they have to justify that.
Yeah.
So of course they need that note. That makes sense. On the other hand, you get some, dare I say, civil servants, and I've mentioned this before, that I've run into before, that actually are allotted a certain amount of sick days, and they take those as vacation days. So that when they actually do become sick, it's over and above that.
But the policy that I love is the people that can bank their sick time. If they don't take their day and a half a month, they save it, And then they're paid out bonuses when they retire or when they leave because they didn't take their sick time. You shouldn't be paid because you didn't use your sick time. Your sick time is...
Sick time should be just that.
Yes.
But where do you... I can see both sides of this argument.
Oh, God,
I have seen people that, I have a sniffle. I think I'm going to call into work today. Or I don't feel like getting out of bed because I overdid it the night before. I think I'm going to call in sick. I'm sick. You know, you've got that on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you've got the people that will come in with the bubonic plague
and
infect everybody else in the building because they're afraid for their own job security.
Mm.
They don't want to miss a day because that might be their last.
Yeah. And, my biggest thing when I did work full time was I didn't want to put anybody out because I knew that if I called in sick that... it would be stressful for the boss who would have to find a replacement.
But that's the boss's job, honey. We've had this conversation a lot. Well, that you're right. That's the thing, especially working morning radio, because you're up and out at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
So the night before, you feel a little bit ill, but you don't want to give anybody the heads up because it's, I think I can still make it.
Yeah.
Well, then 4 in the morning hits, you're really feeling like crap.
Feeling like a truck has just run you over.
So then you have to phone somebody who has to get somebody else out of bed and get in there at that time and fill in for you. It's really a rough situation.
Yeah. It sucks all around, but I think this doctor is well within her rights to start charging the employers. Hopefully it sends a message to those, 6 to 8 employers that she gets a month that demand notes for sniffles and other assorted problems.
Where was it I heard? I think it was in China,
where
you pay your doctor when you're well.
Eh?
You pay your doctor when you're well.
Okay.
And so it is their job to keep you well because they want to get paid.
Right.
And if you're sick, then it's free because they're going to do whatever they possibly can to get you well again. It's just the exact opposite. Oh. It's kind of like an insurance policy type thing. Hey, I was well all this month. Looks like I owe my doctor $100 or whatever it is. And you just pay your doctor. So they're
really?
Yeah. I guess in that situation, you'd get these people who are faking sickness to their doctors. But that's a pretty hard one to fake sickness to is the person that can actually determine whether or not you are sick. I forget where exactly it was. It was one of those, it's a fact, on kids' television or something. Or it might have been in the bathroom reader in the fine print at
the bottom of the page.
what are you going to do? Call in sick to your doctor? They'll go, oh, really? Let me just take a look at your throat here. I can determine whether you're sick or not.
And is there levels of illness that, if you come down with a cold or diarrhea, you're done for the month. You don't have to pay him or do you just pay him a fraction? Or, of course, if you come down with something like cancer, then all bets are off. And
if you come down with something like cancer, then the doctors are like, oh, this is a liability to me. go in the back room there. Say hi to Guido. I don't know exactly. It sounded like a good idea when I first read about it or saw it or whatever. Maybe it came to me in a dream. But the more you poke holes in it, the more it seems like it's pretty lame.
Oh, speaking of illness, we were supposed to be talking with Max Speed today, but having a bit of a flare-up after his car accident last year. So he was on the heavy-duty meds when last we spoke. He was watching unicorns, smelling the color blue, and telling me that the unicorn smelled like cotton candy. So
you see, he should have come in, brought a few of whatever he has. We would have had a hell of a podcast.
It would have been something special.
We would have started with
Pink Floyd. Should I be concerned that my daughter's favorite new band or new favorite band is Pink Floyd?
Nah.
Do I need to be concerned about that?
That's just my influence.
Okay.
I've been feeding her drugs.
Okay, that's what I thought. Hey, we had this conversation last week about how everything in town seems to be named Scotiabank this year, these days.
They're taking over everywhere.
Well, Scotiabank Center used to be the Metro Center. Apparently, they're renaming the Cineplex Theater in Bears Lake the Scotiabank Theater. And interesting to note that the Canada Games Center could be the next facility with naming rights that are up for grabs. Saw this on Twitter. They're exploring that option right now. So wouldn't be surprised if in the next 6 months to a year that the Canada Games Center is renamed you know, Scotiabank Center, TD Place, whatever.
Yeah, probably TD Place. They'll be battling it out. All these banks are going to be like, there's going to be a war,
well, that
a turf
seems
war.
To be, you know, that seems
you're
to be
wearing
the big
green.
One.
This is Scotiabank territory. What are you doing?
Well, I'm just thinking of all the ones in Canada. I mean, Air Canada, they've done it. Rexall has done it. But we don't really have a Rexall pharmacy here in Nova Scotia.
No, what do we got?
Lawton's.
The Lawton's Auditorium.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, how come none of the big maritime companies are lining up for this? Why?
Yeah, the Irving Center.
Yeah, why not an Irving Center? Why not, you know, Sobeys Place or it just,
Because Sobeys Place sounds like a kid's show. Yeah. Welcome to Sobeys Place. Pull up a chair. I'll call Sobey.
So there's only a week left for students in the province to recognize a teacher who has made an impact on their lives. The Teachers Union is doing this. It's called Teachers Make a Difference. It's a recognition program. And they are looking for nominations of teachers who make every effort to go above and beyond in the classroom. And so they're encouraging students and or parents to nominate a teacher or community college member who's made a huge difference in their lives. You can go to the website, nstu.ca, and fill out the form. Up to 10 NSTU members will be chosen for the for their contributions to the lives of students, schools, and campuses. And for each recognized teacher, a donation of $300 will be made toward the homeschool, campus breakfast, or library program. So that's kind of neat. So far, 260 nominations, and it's not too late for yours. The contest closes November 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Teachersmakeadifference.ca is the official page, but you can also get to it by the Teachers Union website, nstu.ca.
Hey, I just read on Facebook that Bill Hart, the morning show host, the host of the Bill Hart Breakfast Show on The Wave, 89.9, yes. he's resigning.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be first week of November, I believe November 7th.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Bill in here, get him on the podcast and chat with him.
Have you ever met him?
Oh, sure.
He's a tall drink of water,
sure,
as my mother would say.
I've met Bill.
Super nice guy, yeah. Maritimer through and through, and sad to see him go.
Well, you see, there are two things that happen in radio. One is that they change format, or for whatever other reason, they decide that they do a Gian Gomeshi on you, basically. And the other one is when you resign, and usually when that happens, you've got another iron or two in the fire. So it'll be interesting to chat with Bill and maybe find out what he has in size. Or you know what? Sometimes people just get tired of the radio business, tired of waking up at that hour.
Yeah, it sounds to me. I mean, any time that you say my last day on the air will be, you know, a week down the road or 2 weeks down the road, usually it means you're leaving on good terms because otherwise you're escorted from the building immediately, if not sooner.
That's one thing about radio. Think about it. You're an employee of a radio station. You have a microphone and you're broadcasting to the city.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have a disgruntled employee doing that. So they're not going to say, your ass is fired out the door, but
we need you to stay till next Tuesday.
Yes, or even for the rest of the day. No, usually when that is announced, it's your card has already become deactivated and they escort you to the front door. It's kind of sad. You know, you spend that much time, you put that much effort into a place, and then when they decide for whatever reason that, you know, you're moving on, that's kind of how you're treated. And it's a security issue, and it does make sense, but it's really sad because these are your good friends that you've worked very closely with for a long time. And, you know, you're being escorted like a criminal out of the building.
Out of the building, yeah. And, you know, especially, too, if you're going to work for a competitor. I mean, it's very rare.
Like Lisa Blackburn, for instance, when she left Q104?
I was just going to say, it is incredibly rare because I had submitted my resignation to them, I think, in September.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was in September.
But they wanted you to stay and to honor your contract and to stay until, what was it, November that you stayed
mid-November.
Until?
Mid-November. Yeah.
But that's because you're Lisa Blackburn. Everybody trusts you. Yeah. I mean, that's saying a lot. When a radio station, when you actually put your notice in and you say that I'm going to another radio station, it's a competitor in the same market, and they go, no, we'd like you to hang around here with us for a while. That kind of shows that they either trusted you or they, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they knew.
And they'll never, ever miss all that crap that you took during the 3 months that you were there.
You should see the storeroom of pens I have. But no, that is extremely rare when that happens. Yeah. I mean, they knew the reasons behind it. I was, you know, going to work with my husband. There was nothing, you know, bitter or disgruntled about it. It was...
I mean, radio, it's one of those things. It's like being traded to another team. When Wayne Gretzky was traded to the Los Angeles Kings, everybody was all huggy and teary-eyed and the whole bit. And then they meet on the ice, and there's no love lost between those two teams.
That's true. You know, that's the way it's got to be.
And that's the same way it is in radio. You know, it's like, oh, I love you. Are you sure you want to go? We'll miss you so much. Bye. Okay, how are we going to beat that bitch in the ratings? I mean, it's almost like that in radio.
I'm not sure how this is going to go over. It is kind of late in the season, but neat idea. This Thursday, some early Halloween fun. The first ever outdoor movie night at the Public Gardens. They're going to be screening Ghostbusters on a screen that they're going to set up between Horticulture Hall and the bandstand right near the center of the gardens. It's absolutely free. Show starts at 7 p.m. Going to take about 2 hours or so. And they're saying use the Spring Garden Road gate behind Horticulture Hall and bring your own snacks and chairs. So there are going to be benches on site that can accommodate up to 400 people, but of course, you can
sit on a blanket or something too, can't you?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of cold, you know, and it's been wet the last little while too. So
as long as it doesn't rain, I think this will be a success. I don't care how cold it is. You can, you know, if you're watching Ghostbusters and you're with a whole group of people out there, you can wear jackets and coats and a blanket or whatever and have a good time.
But speaking of the weather, they're going to make a decision by noon Thursday about whether or not things will proceed if things are wet, and you can call 311 ahead of time if you think it might be canceled. But yeah, it's kind of nice. They're kind of expanding things at the Public Gardens, trying to offer fun, free activities for visitors. And this is sort of their first. So get out there and support them. 7 o'clock Thursday night at the Public Gardens.
And that is all the time we have for this edition of the Halifax Daily News. Hopefully we'll get Max Speed on the show sometime in the very near future, but we will be back tomorrow.
Until then.